Hi, everyone, and welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, the mighty 101.5 FM. I'm Jim Samaria.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, Mark.
I'm your co-host, Mark Plotnick, and each week we bring you music, insights, and interviews spanning the most prolific and freewheeling era for rock and roll music, the 1950s through the early 1980s.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which is available online at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum website and their gift page. Or you could get it through my website, jimsamariaphoto.com. The book features my photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day with words by Mr. Mark Plotnick.
Thank you. Well, today we are really excited to have in the studio members of two Chicago area bands from the 1970s. From Pez Band, we have the bassist Mike Gorman, and from the Boys, we have Dirty Dan Buck on vocals and guitarist Mike Tafoya. Welcome, boys.
Hey, guys.
And guys.
Hey, guys.
Yo.
Well, hopefully everyone listened last week to part one, where we talked about what these guys did with the Boys and the Pez Band. And they continued rocking even after those bands broke up. So we're going to start with Mike Tafoya, who was the guitarist in the Boys. After the Boys went their separate ways, what band did you start after that?
We started a band called The Bees, and that name was never supposed to happen. It came out of the agent trying to move us forward and play and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it was a good band, though. It was. We wrote a lot of stuff, and we found a singer that could do our stuff and still sing gravelly and do the style that the previous singer. What's that guy's name again?
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
yeah. But it was the style you were accustomed to.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. I wanted that. We wanted to have a rock and roll voice still. We didn't want to have...
Great.
Yeah, and it was Tommy Holland. Awesome. But that... Oh, yeah, the guy was Dirty Dan Buck. That was his name.
That was the other guy.
Yeah.
Is he still alive, Dan Buck?
Dan Buck?
I heard he died.
Oh, did he?
I pinched him. Hey, he doesn't know.
No, he's still there. Okay,
no, he's not.
He's to the left of me. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, so we did that, and... We end up. We had Kent Cooper in the band for a while, but Kent ended up joining De Luxury, and we got Stephen Riley, and he was with Roadmaster, out of Indianapolis. They were a big heavyset guy who did a soul thing, featuring the Roadmaster, the Mighty Atom Smasher, and he had Toby on bass, who played with John Mellencamp and stuff. And I met him, Stephen, in 75 when they did that, and then I met him again when the Boys were getting our album out, and Peter Kamita had a band called Valentino's or something. And I go, this guy from Boston, sweet God, yo, and I'm going, oh, I know you, yeah, hey, yo, and we go, say park the car, or say bra. He couldn't, but yeah, we had a good, we recorded the album in Hollywood, and Tom Werman produced it, and this song was start off with a Dave Angel riff, the bass chords, and I came up with the riff in it, and then Tommy came up with the lyrics.
What's the name of the song?
Too Much to Ask For.
All right, here's Too Much to Ask For by The Bees.
To pay, too much to ask for. I don't want your love today.
Boy, that song really rocks, Mike. That's a great song. I hear you have a little bit of an American Bandstand story to talk about the Bees.
Yeah, we're the only band to ever do that without a record. Not even Huntley, you know, something scratch records, you know what I mean? It was just, we were out there, we filmed us doing, you know, a studio, we videoed us playing lip syncing to ourselves so I could see we did it real. And they went, "We want you." And we never had a record, and we had every record company going, "You know what? What do you, payola or something?" Of course, there was no payola, but we got in there and we lip synced it. We worked it hard. We recorded the songs that we did on that at Howard Steele's studio. He in Hollywood, he did the Rosington Collins thing. You sure got that right? Sure, got that guys, right. He did that, and so we do it. And I'm listening to it. I'm going, and they're going, "Oh, we're gonna play this. We wrote this." I go, "No, we need to learn that performance that day." So I go, "We're gonna do what we did when we were 10, 11. We're gonna lip sync. We had the monitors come up there, and I totally kicked the chair over and pretend he played keys."
Oh, really?
And so then when we sang. So we didn't have the microphone, and you know, all the riffs and everything was just right. And then we had this crash ending in the second song. Now, how do you do that? And I go, "Here's simple. Steve just goes boom, 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 crash." But you don't hear the boom, one, two, three, four. You just hear the crash. So, bam. And it was, and people just were positive we were alive. They were flipped out. I mean, it was like, but we worked hard at it. You know, that's what we do. I learned that from him, though. We used to work hard. We came in, we made sure we knew what we were doing before we went out there. We just go out there and flub it up. It's like, anybody can do that.
Yeah, but how excited to be at American Bandstand. My gosh, cool, something we all grew up with. You know?
Well, it was us.
I know, I was envious. I really was.
Oh.
I was like, man, those guys are...
I know Gilly was. I told him about it. We called him because it was like we were laying out, and I don't lay out ever, and Dave and I were laying out, and it's like 80 degrees, and it was 80 below here in Chicago.
Yeah.
We're going, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, hi." You know, Gilly's like the sweetest guy in the world. And he goes, "Hi, Mike." "Hey, Dave." He goes, "Hey, we're going to do Bandstand." He goes, "What?"
Yeah,
you could just feel him going, "Oh, really?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "No, you aren't." I go, "We are. We're doing it."
And he came back and told me, "You talked to you guys," and I'm like, "They're what? They're going to play Bandstand?"
You know, it's like
American Bandstand. I was like, I couldn't even believe it. I was just like, "Oh my God, they don't even have a record."
I know it was. It was just Danny, our manager Davis. He just he goes, "I'm not going to hire a music publicist. We're going to hire a TV and movie publicist. Going to get you out of that." And I went, "Well, that doesn't make any sense." You know, me pontificating like I know something. And he showed me. And it was, and we went in there, it was like,
what a cool thing.
And it was us and Nick Lowe. He played with us. You know, and he had Carlene Carter with her because it was his wife at the time. And they had David Carrick, who was only with Squeeze for one song, Tempted. He's there playing keys. because they were opening up for the Cars or something at the Hollywood Bowl that night. We went and did that, and it was like, I mean, the people there were just like, you know, they all, it looks like 82 or something, you know, it was 82, and it looked like right out of that Valley Girl movie, you know, all dressed up and stuff. And but it was real, and Dick Clark was the coolest guy. He's just real professional, straight shooting, fun. I mean, he's business, but he's like, he caught our jokes. He knew all this stuff because he's been hanging out with cats forever.
Yeah, he was the guy, man, for years.
How exciting. I was never on American Bandstand, but I did watch it on TV.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Okay, Mark, what do you got?
All right, well, this question's for Dan. What was your next project following the boys?
Following the boys? Dirt's Raiders. Yeah, we did a thing for... a guy came by. Dirt's Raiders was Pearl Handle Band and boys together. It was me and Gil from the boys. It was Mickey Gentile and Danny Herc from the Pearl Handle Band. And then we got Scott Kelly playing drums. But then Scott's wife was pregnant, so she made him quit. So we got Mike Neff from the Hounds and from
Ruby Starr.
Ruby Starr. Yeah, Mike was a great drummer. Solid in the pocket guy, but rest in peace. Yeah, I miss him. I really do miss him, Mike Knapp.
Yeah,
man. Anyway, so so we put that band together, and a guy named Aziz Gagzel came out to hear us one night and wanted to sign us to Atlantic Records. So we went in and did a whole album for Atlantic Records called Back the Attack, because our whole shtick was we were in camouflage. We were shooting cannons off on stage and stuff. I mean, it was really a very military thing, you know. So anyways, we did this stuff for Aziz and got the whole album done. And his father-in-law, who was the head of Atlantic.
Erdogan Amit.
Yeah, Erdogan.
Yeah.
And anyways, he was like, and this was like in 1981 or 82, somewhere in there. And he's like, yeah, he goes, he was talking to Aziz, and he says, are these guys a punk band? And he goes, well, they're really not a punk band. He goes, well, we're only hiring punk bands. So the whole album just got shelved. Oh. It was like unbelievable. And those songs were really good songs.
You know, it's interesting because Atlantic really started out as an R&B type label.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so. I know. Well, we played for several years, and then, it's like every band, it breaks up finally.
Well, let's listen to a song off that album. What would you like to play?
Well, it's a Dirt's Raiders song, but are we doing...
We're going to do Running Star.
Oh, we're going to go after the Raiders then. This is another project that I did after that. This one's called Running Strong. It's a song that is basically a thing that I did on my own. I gathered a bunch of friends and we went in the studio and put that thing down, and it was a song that we were going to try and release as a single, but things happen. Yeah.
So this is Running Strong, a solo by Dan Buck.
Yeah.
Yay.
You are listening to the Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Okay, Mike Gorman, guess what? It's your turn finally. After Pez Band, you joined your old friend Cliff Johnson, another Oak Parker, in his band Off Broadway. How did that come about?
Well, about 6 weeks before I joined the band, I was out to lunch with my friend John Pazin, who was the bass player in Off-Broadway, and he told me he was getting tired of the band and he wanted to quit. Then about 6 weeks later, Cliff called me and said, John quit. Do you want to be in the band? And we were winding down Pez Band. We were just finishing out some dates. We decided to call it. And I said, sure. So I joined the band. And I was in both bands for about a month, but there was no conflict. But like, we were talking about this one song we're going to play. I'd been in the band for like a week. And you're like, okay, we're going to go restart recording. Huh. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And the fun just never stops.
Yeah. How long was Off-Broadway together after you joined?
A couple years. And then it reconstituted in the 90s and reconstituted again in the aughts.
Yeah.
And but that version of it, sort of the original version, only for a couple more years.
Were you in those revision groups?
Yeah.
You were? Okay. And Pez Band, they got back together a couple times too, right?
They did. They got together as a trio.
And you were part of that too?
No, I wasn't part of that.
Okay. All right. So those were the years that they weren't as good then, right?
Those are usually
They were actually very, very good.
Were they?
Yeah, they were good.
Well, the song we're going to play is Automatic. You want to tell a little bit more about the song Automatic?
Well, I joined the band, and John Ivan and Cliff Johnson had written this song, and they were like, it goes like this. And I said, okay, how about this? Roll tape. And so you're officially in the band now, and we're recording it. And
did you guys record live? In other words, I mean, I'll play at the same time.
Yeah, the drums, usually drums, bass, and usually one guitar, sometimes two, and then stuff would get added after that. But we tried to get everything in one take. It would take several tries, but we tried to get everything in one take, like the basic track, as it's called.
Yep. Okay. All right, well, let's play Automatic by Off Broadway.
We
That was Automatic by Off Broadway, another one of those great Oak Park bands, right, Mike?
You got that, you duper.
Right. See, I told you the duper.
Dupers, dear old Oak Parkers.
I was a greaser.
You were a greaser?
Oh, yeah, I was in Chicago. I lived right on the other side of
Well, you're on the other side of Austin Boulevard, yep. That's right. Well, anyway, that's the end of part one. Please stay tuned for part two of the Classic Rock Show, broadcasting on WHRULP 101.5 FM and on demand anytime you want, right, Mark?
That's 24/7.
Right. You can be listening from anywhere in the world. All right. See you in a minute.
As long as you have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.